This recording is brought to you by the Same Same But Different Writers Festival and PrideNZ.com.
I'm Victor Roger, and this is hashtag the future, a session that I curated to look at some of the newer voices on the Auckland and beyond theatre scene. For those of you who don't know me, I'm primarily a playwright. I'm currently the Robert Burns Fellow at Otago. I'm best known for my play Black Faggot, and helped get off the ground a play that's on at the moment, finishing tonight, Pussy, co-written by Kiki, who is a Samoan Filipina writer. And actually, Kiki, I'll just ask you to come up and join the crew. And we're missing one transgender Tongan who will miraculously appear at some stage, probably in high heels. This is just going to be very relaxed. I wish it's so hot. I wish we could be doing this in a pool, one of those pools with the bar in the middle that you just go and sit on and drink. But we're not. We're doing it here, and that's cool too. I'm just going to briefly introduce our panelists, and then just go. We're just going to have a little bit of casual banter. Oh, and I just want to acknowledge Peter Wells. Thank you for Same Same But Different. I think this is such a great festival. And I need to acknowledge Simpson Grierson, lovely lawyers who have sponsored this session. And FYI, I think I speak for all of us when I say that we hate filling out Creative New Zealand funding applications. So if you can help us, please talk to us afterwards. I'm going to kick off with introducing first Kiki, who is, as I said, Samoan Filipina, based in Hawaii, and Pussy, which has enjoyed great success this week as part of Pride's, is her first play, which I helped get up and running. Malo lele. We have next to her Aroha Awaro of Maori and Niuean descent, hailing from Hawera, long-time magazine journalist and relatively new playwright. Next to him we have young Nathan Joe, who is, like myself, from Christchurch. He is the baby of the panel. He literally is hashtag the most future ahead of him. And next to Nathan, we have Josephine Stewart Defew, proud Westie, and author of three plays. And next to her, we have Sam Brooks, absolutely the most prolific of the playwrights here tonight. And Sam is also an Aucklander. And next to me, a woman I consider my daughter, naughty daughter. This is Amanaki Prescott Faletau, Tongan Whakaleiti, which is the Tongan for Whawhawhinge. And Amanaki and I have worked together on a couple of plays with her as an actress. But Amanaki last year wrote her first play with another writer called Inky Pinky Ponky, an award-winning play, which we will get to in due time. So thank you guys all for coming, and thank you guys all for coming. So I'm going to start asking my questions now, all right? Okay. So I just thought I would ask, and I'm very mindful when I do this session of a play that I read recently called Booty Candy by African-American playwright Robert O'Hara, and there's a scene set at a writer's festival. And if you'd read it, you'll know that if it goes like this, I'll stab my eyes out. So we'll keep it light. One thing I'm curious of, because now at the grand old age of 46, I am hashtag Father Time, which is amazing. Things have changed since I started writing in the mid-90s. And we're all here because we are part of that alphabetical spectrum from L to, I think it's I now, right? L, no. And I just wondered about boxes because, I got put into the Pacific box. I'm mixed race Samoan Palangi. I got put into a Pacific box. I guess I've been put into kind of a gay box, particularly since Black Faggot. But, I just think of myself as a writer who happens to be gay as opposed to a gay writer. And that's a subtle difference. And I just wondered, is that a question that even occurs to you guys or not? And I'm going to ask you first, Aroha.
Well, I think I'm in the same boat as you as a gay writer that writes plays, but I think also my 10 years experience as a journalist, writing varied varieties of each week, from celebrity stories to kind of big news stories, you know, you're writing a variety of things, and you never think about whether, as a journalist, whether you're gay or Nguyen or Māori. You just have to do that because it's your job. So in terms of playwriting, it's kind of the same that I apply into as a playwright. You know, I just write what I feel and what comes to me at that point in time and what I want to say. I've written two plays, one called Officer 27 about the aftermath of a police shooting, and my first play was Luncheon, about Academy Award-winning actresses meeting up for a lunch before the awards. Very diverse topics. So, you know, but what I can say in terms of my gay experience, I think what kind of helped is, you know, I think we're all very funny. Gay people, I think we're just quite funny. I think it comes from, well, for me personally, it comes from being brought up in the 80s and being brought up in Hawera and being kind of lonely. And it's just kind of the humour that you kind of develop to protect yourself.
Like a coping mechanism.
Yeah, coping mechanism. You're always the funny one in your group. And, you know, well, some of our humour comes from a lot of hardship. So I think if there is a kind of common theme that I could connect to my sexuality and my plays, is that despite what issues I tackle, there's always some lightness, there's always some humour, because it kind of reflects the kind of upbringing that I had and the things that I did to cope. You know, Luncheon is very funny. You've got five women competing for an Oscar in a room. So that kind of lends itself to the camp humour. That could be just five drag queens, you know, kind of, that kind of funny. I mean, Officer 27, although it was about a police shooting, and the mother trying to cope with that grief, it was really important still for me to have a little bit of lightness, because our lives have been full of the extremes, and I think that's what, in terms of my experiences growing up gay and being a proud, open gay person, I think that's what my plays bring. So you don't necessarily have to write about the gay experience, but, you know, there is something there that, you know, your life experience has actually influenced.
Kia ora.
Josephine?
Funny, actually, I was talking to Sam about this outside. I think the box is very generational. I think your generation kind of took one for the team.
Thank you, Sam.
But in a sense that, you know, we don't... Yeah. I don't know if it's so relevant anymore. It was a little bit, yes, but, like, the more I read, particularly...
We can all have
but from younger writers and stuff, like, a lot of what I'm reading online... It's not, it just doesn't matter.
So it just is?
Yeah.
Mainstream?
And
do you think we're mainstream now?
No. I don't know what is mainstream. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's subjective.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and, you know, as a writer, I identify as a lesbian woman, so everything I write is going to be from the perspective of a lesbian woman, regardless if there are lesbian women characters in it or not. So... I don't like to put myself in a box because I'm half Pākehā, half Māori. So I hate even having to choose a race on a, you know, filling out a form, especially when it makes me pick one, pisses me off. I just draw another box. And
yeah.
I just do it. Don't make me choose. I just let me be.
Yeah.
But, yeah, does that sort of... It's
yep,
hard.
Absolutely.
I think.
Do you concur, Sam, with what Josephine was saying?
I think that when... someone is like, oh, okay, like, he is only this Xbox. Or this X? Oh, it's only, so the box is for the person and not for the subject? Yeah. If that made any sense whatsoever.
Yeah, okay. Does that make eventually sense? Yes. No, thank you, Sam. Yeah. What about you, Nathan?
Well, I find it's harder because it's the, I suppose, balancing of different boxes. I mean, I've always, when I start a play or any sort of writing, I'm always questioning whether I feel the need to write from a gay perspective or a Asian perspective or both, and it's like, oh no, this is the time I wrote a gay play and this is the time I wrote an Asian play, and I feel bad for neglecting one of them. And as a general rule, I find it's not too productive trying to fill those boxes, so I end up just writing whatever I want. But there's always a sort of latent feeling of responsibility, I think, in the back of my mind. Then I guess that sort of plagues me more than, I suppose, feeling that I need to write a particular sort of play. But I don't think there are that many plays that deal or feel the need to deal with gay subjects so head-on these days. We tend to be more, I wouldn't say peripheral, but just we exist, matter of fact, which I think is nice.
Mm-hmm. I disagree. I think maybe there are a lot of plays about gay men, but there aren't very many about gay women. Yeah. Pussy is the first show I've seen in years about gay women. Yeah. And it's not only about gay women, it's about women in general. I felt like it was a celebration of vaginas and women's sexuality. Yeah. It wasn't just about, it's hard to be gay. That's the thing that I keep getting told through theatre and film, is that coming out's really hard. Coming out's really hard. But I want to have a kid with my partner one day. I have no idea what it means to be a lesbian, to have a baby or raise a child. I've got no reference in terms of popular culture for that. And I refer to popular culture for the way I live my life. You know, I'm in my early 30s. It's been around me my whole life. I can't help it. Sorry.
No,
I do. I totally agree. I disagree with that.
No, I agree with that aspect. And I am sort of viewing it from a very particular lens when I say that I am sort of overexposed to a very particular sort of gay cinema or storytelling, and I guess that's what I feel is unnecessary to explore anymore. It's the sort of coming out stories and
the
I hate being gay stories or the I'm in the closet stories, which, you know, there is still a lot of validity in those stories, but we have an excess of them. And you're right, it's a lot of the female gay stories, especially of persons of colour, and a lot of the gay male stories of persons of colour are still require a lot of exploration and need a lot of exploration.
Let me just go to, since you brought it up, Josephine, let me go to you, Kiki, because, Pussy is your first piece. What made you, apart from me suggesting that you write, what made you want to write what you wrote? I mean, I didn't tell you what to write. What made you write Pussy?
I think there is responsibility in knowing, and I felt that my responsibility as an artist is to help others like me, other people who are going through the same experiences. So I never intended it to be Pacific Island lesbian. Mm. I just intended it to tell a story. And I think part of Pussy is dealing with those boxes and the reasons, and Mele kind of dealing with, you know, why does she have to choose a box? And really, it's the only reason why people would feel, well, I would feel the need to choose a box is because of the other. And so for a long time, I had to battle with that, until I realized that I would be giving into that way of thinking. And so I hate boxes. They're so restricting.
But also, I think the boxes are what we put ourselves in. I think a lot to do is with audience members accepting, and especially in such a small kind of world that we live in, that they accepting that gay people and Māori people are multifaceted, and they don't necessarily have to write about that experience. to, you know, the gay experience or the mod experience, you know, they can write about anything that they want because, you know, we are artists and we shouldn't put ourselves in any of those boxes. We should just write what we want. But I think I came across a lot of writing luncheon. It was just really hard for people to kind of perceive that this Māori person could possibly write about this Hollywood world when for so long they had seen Māori writers write about and, you know, validate, you know, it was a point in time where there was for that voice to come through. But I found it really hard for people to kind of accept that a Māori person would write something other than that.
So for those of you who don't know, Luncheon, which is Aroha's debut award-winning play, right, deals with the five nominees for Best Supporting Actress in 1958. Yes, so not your typical subject matter for a...
And I actually... in trying to get it onto the stage without having to produce it myself, I sent it out to most companies in New Zealand. And, you know, I have a background in celebrity journalism, so that pop culture world is something I'm very familiar with. But one person who actually said to me, who actually read it, said that it was flawed because I'm not writing what I know. I should stick to writing Māori stories. Well, you know, I was trying to, you know, I was trying to kind of keep it professional. I mean, I was actually, I mean, obviously being told that it was quite,
Who was it?
Okay. No. But, you know, it just kind of, that, you know, it goes to show that, you know, when people had, when this particular person had read this play, he read it with the knowledge, obviously I put my name on it and kind of dismissed it entirely because he knew it came from a Māori writer. And despite one, you know, Luncheon won an award, it had Jennifer Ward Leland in it and Katie Wolfe. So, you know, as a play itself, it stood its ground. And it was, you know, it proved itself to be quite successful. But, you know, trying to get it on stage, you know, you were judged just because of, you know, the Māori side, not even the gay side, but the Māori side. So I think the pressure of putting ourselves in some boxes comes sometimes from, it's within our, with, you know, comes from outside of us sometimes. And
sure.
I think that, you know, we just still have to keep to what our truth is. But that can be hard because it's such a small industry. And if, you know, there's a lot of people that think like that, it just can...
I just want to rewind a little bit back to one of Josephine's points, which resonated with me, because when I was helping Kiki with Pussy, you know, when I was looking for lesbian plays by lesbians, very, very little, as opposed to we are spoiled for choice, right, boys? Which takes me to you, Amanaki, because you are, you know, whakareiti, transgender, in terms of plays by trans, about trans. Are there many / any others out there?
Well, not that I know of. I mean, when I wrote my play, I didn't really... I wrote it because I like to write about things that will move me or something that I want to see in theatre. And so I like to go to theatre shows. So usually I write... Usually my stories are about love because I love love stories, whether they're about a straight couple, gay couple. So I didn't really... think that there was any other trans writers writing about trans story.
And what compelled you to write Inky Pinky Ponky? Well, which, for those of you who haven't seen it, is about a story very close to Amanda Gazzard about a young, gorgeous whakareiti who is the victim of a bet at high school with the
first 15 captain
who subsequently falls in love with the gorgeous whakareiti. So, yeah, you go.
I think it was the interest that people found the story in the script. To me, it was just like, okay, yeah, it's a script. But it was the fact that everybody found it so different. To me, it was just like, okay, maybe it's because it's not been told enough. About
with the trans, yeah, trans stage. Stories.
Yeah, and so I was just like, okay then, well, we'll see how it goes. And because it's my first play, well, so it turned out to be really good, but I didn't actually think about any boxes or anything while writing it. Or
did you feel like you were representing your trans community, particularly the Polynesian?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know a lot of friends who are kind of related to it, so they really, it was when I wrote it, I was thinking about my friends who I actually know, because it's really hard trying to write a poly whakale di story when they're so strong about, well, I don't live like that, I don't live like this. So I try not to, when I write a whakale di story, I try not to say it's really, I'm not representing a whole heap of whakale di's, because they're individuals first before they are kind of boxed into a community. So I try to make sure I write something that's kind of related to me or kind of close to me. And I try to say, well, it's inspired by my life. I'm not trying to represent a whole community of whakale di, because some of them are really, no, I don't live like that. I was like, okay, sweet, that's cool.
Yeah, spectrum is the word I always come back to. Uh-huh. There's a lot of us, and we're not all the same. One thing I'm curious about for you guys is why theatre? As opposed to why not? I know some of you dabble in magazine and work, and online work, Pantograph Punch and Lumiere. But why theatre? Josephine, you want to take that one, Sven? Or Sam?
Because it's here. It's here, and it's accessible, and there is a community here. And it's just so friendly, and it's here. Yeah. If that makes sense, he says, unsure of himself.
No,
but yeah. It's just here, and it isn't like, what, you new, like you gay? Well, gay, like, come in. Here's a like help.
Community.
Exactly. Yeah.
What song was that,
Joseph? A community.
Yeah. It's nice and like, yeah.
And Naki, what about you? Why theatre, and why don't you do, you know, Inky Pinky Ponky, the film musical?
Because it's theatre, I find it's right in front of you. You can't really run away from it. You can't change a channel. You can't. Once you're in the theatre, you're sitting there, you're watching it. You can't get out, honey.
Oh, that's right.
Unless you're going to walk out halfway through my show, I will put you on the spot. It's like, no, you didn't. You're going to have a seat, honey.
Yeah, okay. And I'm Nathan. Why theatre for you?
I guess for me, it's I just really like words, and especially spoken words. I think it's I mean, I know that theatre isn't strictly a verbal medium. There's a lot of very visual stuff on stage, but for me it's always been about poetry on stage, poetry spoken aloud, and it's such a great pleasure seeing, you know, a bunch of actors reading your lines out loud.
About poetry being read out loud, I just wanted to ask you about one play on your CV, Secret Life of Sausages. Could you talk to that? I'm just intrigued by it.
That was a during the Basement 24-hour play festival last year, where it was sort of like the V48 film one. We had, like, you know, 24 hours to come up with a play based on some prompts, and ours was Trial by Fire, and I think we thought Absurdist Sausages characters was so the way to go. So yeah, there are three sausages on a grill, counting down before they die.
Okay.
So that's that, yeah.
And just while you're there, Nathan, I just actually was curious, is your first produced play going to be like Sex this year as part of Young and Hungry, or have you had one?
In terms of a full-length piece, yeah. Like proper 60-minute plus, yeah, like Sex, which will be in the Wellington Young and Hungry Festival, and then in theory in Auckland a few months later will be my first full-length play.
And what is the synopsis of?
It's seven teenage high schoolers all sleeping with each other in a sort of daisy chain rotation. So it's the
Is it like Short Bus, the high school?
Yeah, sort of. It's more like it's based on the structure of an old French play called La Ronde. Or was it German? French-German. La Ronde. But basically, the first scene is a couple, second scene is a couple, but it's each scene, it follows on with one of the from the previous chain. So it's basically daisy chains back to the start by the end of the play. Yeah, and it's about their coming of age, their understanding of their own sexuality and sexualities, and just how freaked out we get trying to understand sex when we're young.
Okay. Well, I look forward to it. And Young and Hungry is a great training ground for a lot of young writers. Like, Sam, you've done Young and Hungry, and now you, Nathan, and Nucky Wazinky Pinky Ponky Young and Hungry, or ATC's version of
Next Big Thing.
Yeah. Next Big Thing, which is similar. Okay, that's great. One thing I wanted to ask, is there a particular, is there a particular play, or I guess film or book, where you feel like you've really been represented? Or are you doing it yourselves within your work? Mull over that. My first victim will be Josephine.
TV series. Transparent by Jill Soloway. Mm-hmm. Hands down. God, yeah. She's a lesbian writer. She's got trans people on her... I think her head writer is trans. They're just real people who just happen to be off the, you know, on the spectrum. And that's it. They're not, like, the lesbians aren't crazy. They haven't murdered anyone. They're not just, like, trying it out. They're just women who love other women. There are men who love other men. There are women who now identify as men, men who now identify as women. It's really interesting, and it's real, and it's human, and it's awesome, and everyone should watch it. Yeah. It's on Lightbox. You can get a 30-day free trial. Sign up. I swear to God, you'll watch it in about 48 hours. Binge. Go watch it. It's beautiful. I've never seen anything like it. It's exciting, and it's just a revolution. It's fucking awesome.
You're a Lightbox plant.
You don't have to pay for it.
Have you ever seen anything that represented you? I mean, Pussy represents you, but before that?
I'd say the only thing that I've ever felt like represented me was My Name is Gary Cooper, and it was that guy. Okay. But that was the only role I've ever connected with.
Okay.
Tease role.
Okay, the academic.
The academic.
Yeah.
The fatherless academic. Yes.
And Aroha, have you ever seen something, film, theatre, that's represented you?
Well, I can go back to the Torch Song trilogy. When I first watched that when I was, I think, about 15. Because that was kind of like the first kind of gay drama that kind of dealt with those kind of deep issues of acceptance and coming out, and I think as a 15-year-old, you kind of attach, you know, it was something that I had never seen before. So I think, yeah, Torch Song trilogy.
Was speaking to you in Hawera.
In Hawera, yeah. It was
actually,
yeah. So.
Okay. Nathan?
No particular show, but the writings of James Baldwin tended to speak to me a lot. Even if it wasn't because it was ethnically appropriate, but I think knowing he was a person of colour and gay and going through certain things, I could sort of sense that in his writing, even if he was writing about a, you know, older white male in Giovanni's room. But, yeah, I think it's just that sense of not knowing where you belong, I've quite deeply connected to.
Nice. Lucky?
No, not really.
Fabulous. Nothing?
Not really. I mean, my favourite probably trans or film would be Tu Wong Fu. But that's,
Tu Wong Fu.
Yeah, I connected that to that when I was really young. Okay. Only because I was like, because I wanted to be them. But that was really, really, but nothing really poly or whakaliti or whakawhiniwise really has kind of reached out to me yet.
So if you don't know Tu Wong Fu, that's kind of like an American version of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, with Wesley Snipes, Patrick Swayze, and John Leguizamo, yeah. Right? So which one did you identify with?
Wesley Snipes.
No doubt, no doubt. And what about you, Sam? Play or film? Or, that you feel like represented by or not?
Yeah. Are there hours? It's like... Yeah. I am, yes. No, yeah. I love all his books.
That segues nicely onto my next question, which is who's inspired you on the L to I spectrum in terms of authors? sort of someone a question.
My authors like him, of course. Like Amos is like somebody who like like somebody who was that smart, that overtly angry, that overtly sexual, and that overtly just sad about life is just somebody who I think inspires everything I exist. Yeah. Has fed all my work, I think.
Do you listen to her when you write?
Like, every day of my life. Like, I hear...
From Little Red
Queen's Eye? Yeah. Like, Josephine, all the way through.
How about you, Josephine? Who's been inspirational for you in terms of...
As a writer?
Yeah.
Gosh, I guess as a lesbian writer, probably Patricia Highsmith and Susan Sontag, Marilyn Waring, quite very intelligent older women who are angry as well.
Josephine works with Marilyn Waring, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't work for her so much anymore, but I used to sort of ghost some of her writing.
So she's like such an iconic lesbian figure in New Zealand. What's she taught you?
She's taught me that, it's that same thing that what I mentioned at the top. It's like she was outed by Truth magazine while she was a politician, and that's really hard. And so she's quite, angry about it, and so she should be. It was awful what she went through and what people said to her and wrote to her. So,
have you ever considered turning that into a play?
Yeah. Abigail knows her very well. She was Abigail's stepmum for a while.
Okay.
So we've talked about it. That's my girlfriend, Abigail. We've talked about it. And I have asked Marilyn. I asked her permission. And I did some research. She's currently writing her autobiography, so I've done pre-research for her to go and write. And she's writing now.
Interesting. Nathan? James Baldwin?
Yeah, James Baldwin, Tennessee Williams, all the sort of obvious ones, unfortunately. But but a big one is also, not from sort of for the gay stuff, but is David Henry Hwang, who writes a lot of interesting Chinese-American plays, and I find them incredibly relevant and biting, even if it doesn't, appeal to my homosexual side, per se. Like stuff like Yellow Face, Madame M. Butterfly, even though it's got the gay stuff in there, it's not really about that. It's more about the way that Asian masculinity is perceived, and I find that really incisive. But, yeah.
He got mugged the other week, right?
Did you not know that? That's really sad.
Google. It's a good little piece. Aroha?
Tennessee Williams, definitely. I know it's a bit cliched, but... especially his earlier work, and I'm a cliche myself. I love musicals, and I'm inspired by a lot of musicals. So, when I'm working, I kind of have a set list, which,
Okay. Kiki?
Toni Morrison, Tusiata Villa. Just their fearlessness and their boldness, just being different.
Yeah.
Most recently would probably be shows like Black Faggot and Girl on the Corner. would probably be the ones that I've mostly drawn to as of late.
Yeah, okay. I would like to talk about hate now. It's the flip side of one of the earlier questions. I'm just curious, like, if there is a film... this is kind of theatre-centric, but it can be film or book or whatever. Is there a gay character or film that you've really... wanted to stab the writer when you've watched it because you hated the depiction of a gay character or story? Does anybody want to? Nathan?
I've always had like serious issues with queer as folk.
The American or the British or both?
Both, sort of, really. I mean, I watched Russell T Davies' recent series, Cucumber, which, there are a lot of bits I like and then a lot of bits I just... want to grab compass needles and start stabbing everyone. But As a general rule, I think there's something about the way that gay males are sort of portrayed as... It's not that my concern isn't as sexual creatures, I'm all about that, but as sexual creatures, as something to sort of laugh at, I find sort of, I don't know, cheap and tasteless.
Kiki?
Nah.
Nothing?
I'm not a hater.
So Hawaiian. Naki? Have you been offended by a trans depiction in theatre or film?
No.
There's not enough hate going on in this panel. Oh, thank you so much.
Have some hate over here. Yeah. Looking is a show I found to be a show that tries everything and it just isn't. It tries to represent, like, a gay man, and it is so unspecific about it, and it just moved at such a uninteresting pace, and it just ended up being very safe and dull and not interesting in the concept even. And I'm just like, that's it's something that isn't specific enough.
Generic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Josephine, anything that's got your back up in terms of a representation?
I just hate that there aren't enough stories about women for women in general everywhere, let alone lesbian. We've got a long way to go, sisters. Pisses me off.
Yeah, sure. And have I covered everyone's hate on their hates? In terms of having a long way to go, I mean, the buzzword at the moment is diversity, which is a word I don't really care for that much. Although I do really think a lot about the concept of diversity. Josephine, I'm just wondering, could you ever bring yourself, having said what you just said, to potentially write a piece that was all male? Or would that just go against... Because I think about that myself sometimes. Can I bring myself to do a piece that's all white? Because there's a lot of roles for white people, not so many for us, specifically. As a Gemini, I can flip-flop on that, I have to say. But,
I could. Okay. I mean, it depends on the story. Maybe I'd write a show where it is all male cast, but women have been in power since the beginning of time, and men are treated like shit and raped and... You've beaten, and maybe it's like, how do they top that?
Right.
So, yeah, I could, but I'd probably flip it on its head somehow. No, I want more roles for women. Yes. That's the whole reason I started writing. I'm a trained actor, and I got frustrated at watching my male friends be like, what role are you auditioning for? And there were about six for them. And then me and my female actor friends were all going for the one female role. I got sick of it, so I started writing things that I wanted to perform, and then I just accidentally became a writer. So I don't know what I'm doing.
Join the clubs. somehow we're all here. Is diversity something that you guys think about as well in terms of the industry and the lack of it and the need for it? Kiki?
Yes. It's just funny that this is the question we're being asked, because I was about to write a play for my playwriting class at UH, and all the characters have happened to be male for some reason, and then I thought, wait a minute, I'm missing my own point. So I changed the story, and it's because as an actress growing up in a theater community with no lead roles for Pacific Island women, I feel like it's my duty almost to create those roles. And maybe I'm doing it for myself, but I'm also doing it for other people like me.
Yeah, I don't think It's just for yourself. Yeah. Your show's selling out every single night. That just speaks volumes. People want to see the work. They're hungry for it.
I'm surprised that as writers, and I really total more woman roles, because, you know, I love writing for women. My first play was all woman, one man. And I wrote for women's magazines for 10 years. And, you know, in terms of the depth, in terms of just the range that you can write, it's I'm quite gobsmacked that there are not more plays and works for women, because I find I enjoy writing women characters. And also when we were casting for Luncheon, it was just seeing just the gratefulness of actresses, you know, having such a range and dealing with such issues, and even seeing your play. It was just a thrill to see five, you know, Samoan actresses on stage, just, you know, on point and doing their thing. So I'm really surprised that, you know, writers don't identify that that is the key to great drama and great writing, women roles.
Anyone else want to chime in?
I value it absolutely hugely. Like, I feel like as somebody who comes from somebody who is half white and half not white, I come from a family who is like a family who like looks not like anyone else in the world, and I feel like it is important. Yeah. That's hugely important. I also think that there is the danger of evaluating that over the quality of the content, and I sometimes am scared of something getting elevated that is like, diverse and not actually good, because I think that can happen sometimes. Yeah. And it isn't like wrong, it's just it can make things harder on an audience sometimes if it's something like, oh my god, yeah, this is amazing, yeah, it's not a good, something that's actually good writing, or like it's not handling things in a clever or smart, it's just something, yes, yeah, separate and new, which is not good necessarily all the time.
We are approaching the end of this, so I did want to ask, in terms of hashtag the future, what would be your guys' hopes for the future in terms of keeping it theatre-centric and thinking about the way that the industry is now, and particularly the establishment is now? What would you, how would you see hashtag the future as being in your ideal world? Nucky.
No straight white man.
No stream.
At all. No, it's done.
No.
Stars.
My ideal future of theatre would probably be, because I find poly-transgenders to be really talented, to the point where someone like me who could flip both characters, where I think I'm really capable of playing a really strong male character and then playing a female character like Beyonce really well. So I feel like I would love to put on a play where I could see a cast of just all trans who are able to play male, female characters, because they're very talented singers, dancers. We make costumes, we can do sets. Just a company where I'd be like, polytrans would be like, let me give you a real show with real talent. Okay? That's my future. And it'll happen.
Oh, yeah. Follow that, Kiki.
I agree. No, I see more roles for Pacific Islanders in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aroha?
Well, you know, just looking at this panel, just amazing, diverse in terms of the age and, what we identify as. I mean, this is the future, and it looks like it's in great hands in terms of the gay voice in theatre. But I want to kind of mention the resources it takes to put our work on. And I think, I hope in the future that there are more resources for our voices to get out there, identifying, because we've all put on our shows, and it's really tough, you know, in terms of putting
That's
a show
why the
on.
Lawyers are here.
Pardon?
That's why the lawyers are here.
So, in terms of talking about the future, I would love to see resources for our voices to be heard.
It's sort of going back to what something Aroha said earlier on, but last year after I co-won the Before 25 Playwriting Award, the other winner was a half Chinese person as well, as me being full Chinese, but a question we got asked, or a comment that was made before a radio interview that we had to do was, do you find it interesting that both of the winners this year were Chinese or part Chinese? And I guess for me, I hope that in the future that's just not something that needs to be said.
Yeah, I agree with everything that everyone here has said. Just, yeah, more roles for women as well, you know, more money. But people take big risks, because I find theatre quite conservative at the moment. I got really inspired by Pussy at the Basement, which you guys should see. It might be sold out, though.
Yeah, sorry.
But, you know, I just really want to see people taking more risks and, yeah.
I had my piece.
Well, look, there is about us, right, Julie? Yeah. Julie, are here? So, I just want to round up by asking, do you want to ask a question? Yeah?
You may be aware of Mike Chan's Play It Strange initiative to encourage school-aged people to learn songwriting. And I wonder if there's any similar initiative to encourage school-aged students to learn the craft of playwriting. And if not, perhaps it's something you might explore.
Love it. Thank you. Anyone else want to ask a question? I will wind up and just say that, look, I want to thank you guys for coming on the panel. I'm excited that you are all in the industry, and I wish you're all relatively new to it, and you've already all had a measure of success. And I wish you all the best, hashtag the future. So thank you. And thank you guys for coming too. Thank you.